Silgall switched the monitor off.
That's true.
Her voice sounded reflective.
Perhaps you should explain for the others.
Jason could do that, deliberately, as a force technique. He did it once during the Killick crisis.
Is it a technique you know, Master Skywalker?
Luke shook his head. I assume it was something he picked up during his wanderings among all the force groups he visited. He turned his attention to the horns. But where did Valen learn it? Corrin shook his head.
He's never mentioned it, and I'd expect him to, just for fun. Look what I can do that my old man can't, that sort of thing.
He glanced at his daughter.
Gisela is more of a confidant. She may know.
Gisela looked from her father to Luke.
Valen and I knew Jason, of course, but he was a few years older than Valen, and that makes a big difference when you're an adolescent. Jason was out fighting the war against the Yuuzhan Vong, while Valen and I were stuck in the Maw at Shelter for the last half of the war. We didn't see him at all during the years he spent wandering, and not much after that.
Luke frowned. It didn't sound like the sort of relationship in which Jason would teach Valen an obscure force technique. And how about Valen and Seth? Gisela shook her head, causing her brown hair to sway.
They weren't close. We all studied together at Shelter and afterward, but once we were apprenticed, following our respective masters around, hardly ever. Occasionally, one or the other of us would encounter him on missions. We were acquaintances, colleagues, but we weren't social buddies.
Luke heaved a sigh. But the similarities are too striking to be a coincidence. Seth also knew an obscure force technique we can't account for. Another one that Jason exhibited, a force-based paralysis. There's just too much missing in what we know about Jason's travels, even his thought processes. Whether or not it has any bearing on Valen, at some point we need to fill in as many details as we can about what he was up to in the years prior to the Killick crisis.
Corrin caught Silgall's eye. Is there anything you can do for him? To snap him out of it?
Nothing at the moment. We need psychological experts to evaluate the recordings we have made of him. We need complete toxicological lab work to come back. We need to find a way to complete a brain scan. As far as we can tell, whatever he's doing to thwart the scanner works even when he sleeps. I wish he hadn't awakened from Mirax's stun bolt before we tried the scanner the first time.
She pressed another couple of switches on the control board. An opaque panel slid down in front of the window, cutting off their view of the malevolently staring Valen. Mirax started, then reluctantly turned back toward the others.
Let's go upstairs, Luke said. Sit down, get some calf, and figure out what to do about this. And other problems. Ben, I want you to exercise your investigative skills and see what information you can get me on the bounty hunters we encountered today.
Will do.
Will he be all right, left alone?
Mirax's tone was soft, full of pain.
He is being watched constantly on monitors by my staff.
Silgall sounded confident, reassuring.
They will also look on him personally every half hour to an hour. He is not strong enough to break through his straps, and, as you know, like his father, he lacks telekinetic strength. He cannot free himself that way.
She led them from the chamber. Luke patted Corrin's back as they departed.
Did you have any trouble with the authorities?
We didn't wait for them. Just threw the boy in Mirax's speeder and came straight here.